This case is 4250730, People versus Alexander David LeFay. Ask counsel for the appellee, for the appellate, brother, please state your name.
Amanda Ingram.
Okay, thank you. And counsel for the appellee, please state your name.
Allison Page Brooks on behalf of the people.
Thank you. Ms. Ingram, on behalf of the defendant, you may make your closing or your oral argument at this time.
Thank you, Your Honors. Good afternoon, Your Honors, counsel, and may it please the court. My name is Amanda Ingram, and I represent Alexander LeFave. Mr. LeFave's case presents the culmination of years of neglect and turmoil in the throes of adolescent addiction. This offense was committed when Mr. LeFave was 18 years old and involved just over 1 gram of cocaine in a controlled buy. While the court recognized that Mr. LeFave had a horrific upbringing and that he needed a prison sentence for his own good, an 8-year term was far beyond what was necessary or reasonable to punish Mr. LeFave with the goal of restoring him to useful citizenship. This court has the opportunity now to review the 8-year sentence, which represented a jump from probation to a term 4 years over the minimum, and adjust it to a term that more accurately reflects the entirety of Mr. LeFave's situation, as well as the gravity of the offense. The seriousness of this offense does not merit an 8-year term for this first adult felony conviction.
What sentence would be appropriate?
Something closer to the minimum. This was his first time as an adult offender marked by years of drug addiction that had been clearly spiraling to the degree that we saw here. And
what's the minimum sentence?
4 years.
So the argument is 8 years is excessive, but 4 years would have been appropriate?
Yes.
Is there any case that you're familiar with or have cited to us where an appellate court, the Supreme Court, has said along the lines of, well, that sentence the court imposed is excessive, but we're going to reduce it by this small an amount, 4 years?
Well, of course, every case is different and different facts will present different sentencing considerations and different types of offenses and all of that. On the facts of this case, this court does have the authority to review the sentence that was actually imposed and respond in a fashion that sends the message that the jump from probation to a mid-range sentence, 8 years, when the range is 4 to 15, for an 18-year-old who's clearly in a deep and desperate struggle with drug addiction, who's never been to prison before. It seems that the court was intending to give Mr. LeFave a wake-up call. He made a remark that this was for his own good, and it is understandable that he did not want to give him another chance of probation, but he blew past the option for giving that minimum term, which is there for a reason for cases exactly like this, where you do have someone who's young.
Yes, the answer to my question is no.
I'm sorry, in terms of case law? Well, in terms of case law, there's certainly cases that where the court has found excessive sentences. And whether it's a large amount or a smaller amount, and I understand that frequently when you're looking at an excessive sentence case, you might run into to sentences that are more extreme for more violent situations or more serious crimes. But everybody has the right to a sentence that is appropriate and reasonable for whatever their crime is. So even though
you're familiar with reducing a sentence from 8 years to 4 years?
I'm sorry, sir.
There's no decision you're familiar with reducing a sentence from 8 years to 4 years or anything along those lines?
Well, not with that particularity of 8 to 4. In terms of reducing sentences for similar cases, there's or even just for going back for a new sentencing hearing where the appellate court finds that there was an excessive sentence. Of course, there's There's Maldonado from 1992. There are numerous sentences where if the court find the appellate court finds that there were other circumstances that merited a lesser term than what the defendant actually received. So in terms of the exact factual scenario that we have here, off the top of my head, no, but that should not guide this court's determination on whether, under the facts of this case, Mr. Lefebvre was sentenced too harshly when all of the circumstances are considered.
Counsel, though, our standard of review, wouldn't it be abuse of discretion?
It is.
And so the trial court considered the potential for rehabilitation and some of the arguments you're making before this court. I guess my question is, why is what the court decided so unreasonable, if you will, that no one else that would have had these facts before it would have made this determination?
I understand that concern certainly, and like I said, it does appear that the court was potentially frustrated with Mr. Lefebvre with his previous inability to comply with the constraints for probation. So again, it's understandable that the court would say no more probation. The question is the lack of realization that just going to prison on its own, that is a severe punishment. That is a severe consequence. The minimum sentence is under the legislature. They have the minimum for a reason, with the recognition that there are some cases where a minimum sentence is going to be adequate for punishing the offender for the crime that they committed, and also with the goal of rehabilitating them for reentry into society. So the question isn't so much between probation or a term of prison. It's why was this opportunity, why was this option of giving a minimum sentence or a close to a minimum sentence, 4 or 6, rather than going all the way, jumping all the way to a term in the middle of the range for someone's first time in prison as someone who was barely 18 years old when this offense first happened and who clearly had a great deal of addiction issues that were clearly feeding these problems. So the position of Mr. Lefebvre and myself, it is that this was an abuse of discretion. It was unreasonable for the court in this instance to make this leap from probation all the way to 8 years in prison for, again, this is a relatively minor offense. It was 1 gram of cocaine, just over 1 gram of cocaine. He's 18 years old. This is not somebody who is the only person he's hurting truly is himself. This is not the kind of case that merits an 8-year sentence, and it was an abuse of discretion for the court not to consider a more minimum term, considering all the facts of the offense itself and also the circumstances for that brought Mr. Lefebvre to this point.
Also, is there any case law is there any case law that supports the position that since this is just barely 1 gram, that it requires a lesser sentence than the court handed out here?
Well, it's not so much that it's just 1 gram. The issue, I think of it as more as the minimum sentence is there. The minimum sentence can be adequate. There's a range for a reason that the legislature has determined that under these circumstances, a 4-year term can be adequate and appropriate for many situations. And that this is the kind of situation that we have here, where we do have it's, you know, it would be different if he had 15 grams of drugs or a greater amount or a variety. So all of those facts should point this court in the direction of finding that under all of the circumstances, a lesser term was required. And additionally, there's also case law, I believe it's People v. Fearn, which in which the court discouraged litigants from comparing the facts of one case for sentences because it is so different. It's so different for every individual's case situation, the facts of the offense, the facts of their personal history, their criminal history, all of that goes in together. So it's not entirely, even if we had that case where we had an exact case where, oh yes, here's this other case where there was an 8-year term for 1 gram of drugs or whatever, it wouldn't necessarily matter because every case has to be decided on its own facts and on the particular circumstances that are applicable to the case in front of the court. There are
Isn't that why the trial judge has discretion?
Yes, that is why the trial court has discretion, but that's also why this court has the opportunity to review that discretion and determine whether that discretion was applied appropriately for the circumstances of this case. I would like to point re respond to the two main arguments from the state's brief. One was that Mr. LaFave did not have good prospects for rehabilitation, and two, that he had a significant record. Mr. LaFave does have good prospects for rehabilitation. The background that he was first brought to the attention of DCFS at age 11 for an upbringing that even the court did recognize was horrific. So it's no surprise that by the time he was 18, he was in the grip of drug addiction, and what goes hand in hand with drug addiction is encounters with law enforcement. That said, in spite of that history, prior to sentencing in this case, he was able to amass significant support for himself, including his father and his father's girlfriend, and a new commitment to living with sobriety and being set up for success. I think it's very unfair to say that Mr. LaFave's prospects for rehabilitation are not good at this young age that he ha at his young age, and when he is still very young, and he will have an opportunity for to be rehabilitated and to be a successful individual in society. The other portion is the significant record. Again, most of this record were adjudications for delinquency from when he was a teenager. And again, as I think we can all recognize, an 11-year-old who is already brought into the DCFS system as a result of neglect and drug addiction problems on his parents, this is a recipe for what we have here with Mr. LaFave, where now he has his own addiction problems, now he has his own arrest, now he has these problems. But that is not the kind of record, again, that would merit a sentence that's in the middle of the range when this is his first time to prison. Are there any other questions, Your Honors?
I see none. Anything further, counsel?
If there are no further questions, then I'll briefly conclude by saying that Mr. LaFave is well situated for sobriety and success with the support system that he has now. As he noted in his allocution, he's never had that before. A lesser sentence will not detract from the seriousness of this offense, but will more accurately reflect the circumstances of that offense, which stemmed from the years of turbulence brought on by his parents, whose own addiction exacerbated Mr. LaFave's problems. I implore this court to find that a sentence 4 years over the minimum under these circumstances is excessive and unreasonable, and either reduce it to a lesser term or remand for a new sentencing hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Ms. Brooks, on behalf of the state, you may make your closing argument or argument at this time.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court and counsel.
Counsel.
The standard here is abuse of discretion, which means that no reasonable person would agree with the trial court's order here, which was an 8-year term out of a 4 to 15 range. Now, the standard is really hard to meet excessive sentence because the sentence has to be greatly at variance with the spirit and purpose of the law or manifestly disproportionate to the nature of the offense. Now, class one felony delivery of over a gram of controlled substance is a very serious offense. It's not the most serious offense, but it still is a serious offense. And it's hard to say that 8 years is manifestly disproportionate to something that it is that is a serious offense. Mid-range seems to be within the trial court's discretion under the circumstances. This is not a perfect case for the defendant. The defendant makes a very cogent argument, tallying all of the mitigation, and there is substantial mitigation in the record, and the defendant does have the youth on his side. When the state says that his prospects for rehabilitation were not good, I was not actually saying poor. It's probably more in the fair category because he does have the youth and his family support on his side now. But his track record has actually not been good, in the sense that when he had a juvenile record, he was one time was in 2020 discharged from residential treatment. He refused treatment. 2023, he finally got residential treatment, completed it, but didn't follow up outpatient. But the most significant part is in 2024, he gets another crack at treatment when he's on probation for this offense and another offense as well. And he is ordered to obtain a substance abuse evaluation and complete treatment. And he doesn't get the evaluation. He doesn't submit drug screens. He's not reporting to his probation officer. The only thing he ends up doing, I think, is going to the hospital for an overdose. So he's just not doing very well on his attempts at dealing with the addiction so far. So that's not encouraging from the court's perspective. I think the court is entitled to view that as concerning for his prospects for rehabilitation. The other part is the defendant characterizes his prior record as minimal. Well, he's got the adjudication as a delinquent minor for a gun offense and also for possession of controlled substance. So it's his first time offending against the state's laws dealing with controlled substances. And then later, when he's on bond, well, he was on juvenile probation for that, for those offenses when he's commits this crime, and then he's on bond for this crime. When he commits another possession of controlled substance, I believe the defense brief says something about a possession case being dismissed. But actually, in the case 2023 CF 1217, he was in fact convicted when he pleaded guilty. This was the possession case that he picked up while he was on bond for the delivery case that he's appealing this sentence for. So in that situation, the defendant has with if to combine the adjudications as a juvenile plus the fact that he picks up a second felony conviction while he was on bond and probation for this case, it seems like by 20, age 20, he's getting quite the record. And so I think that's something, it's a statutory factor in aggravation. And so I think if you balance out, at least the court can balance out the aggravation from his prior record and his he does have mitigation, but he also has not good prospects for rehabilitation. I think the mid-range sentence is well within the trial court's discretion. And that's why the state would request that that sentence be affirmed, and I would entertain any questions.
I see none.
Thank you, Your
Thank
Honors.
you, Ms. Brooks. Ms. Ingram, any rebuttal argument, ma'am?
Yes, just briefly.
Go ahead.
I first would like to respond to the track record regarding treatment. And there were numerous stints with rehab and partial hospitalizations and inpatient treatment programs and the like. The record indicates that his first one was in 2016 when he was 11 or 12 years old. So again, this life with drugs was coming from a very early age. It's not abnormal for someone to make an attempt at rehab and relapse, to fail to try again, to fail to try again. And he did have some where he was discharged without against the advice of medical personnel. But I would also note that in October 2020, one of the diagnoses that he was left with was support system deficit, which just indicates how poor his support system was when he was making these attempts. So it's no surprise that these were frequently failed attempts when he has this what the hospital workers called a support system deficit. Well, what does that mean? It means that he still, when he's trying making these efforts, that he doesn't have the caring adult guidance to help him maintain this commitment to sobriety and to be successful. So I don't think that the the attempts, the failures, and the multiple attempts at rehab should be held against him in this way to say that he has this poor track record. Additionally, during that time when he's not meeting with his probation officer and he picks up the other case, he was having the his mother reported in November of that year that she's heard he's had multiple overdoses. This is all happening hand in hand. It's not happening separately where he's committing these offenses in a vacuum where he's not under the influence of the drugs and everything. So as the this Miss Brooks mentioned, he does have a lot of mitigation. He is young. He has the family support with him now. These are all things that did not exist before when he was having these attempts at rehabilitation previously, and it does bode well for his future success. And I ask this court to look at that potential for success and find that in this case, under the facts of this case in particular, that a mid-range sentence was too far and it was an abuse of discretion where a minimum or closer to a minimum sentence would have been adequate. If there are there any and one more point, I wanted to clarify that the 1217 case, it was a conviction, but at the end of this case, the court dismissed all of the cases, the 1217 case included. So I apologize if there was any confusion on that matter. But if there are no further questions, then I'll just ask for this court to grant relief in the form of a lesser sentence or a new sentencing hearing.
Thank you, counsel. And thank you, Ms. Brooks, as well. We appreciate your arguments. The court will take this matter under advisement and render a decision in due course, and will now stand in recess at this time.